Good morning. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those that came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? And so we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. I just pray for your presence. I pray that you will speak to us and just meet with us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been going through Hebrews whenever I have the chance to speak at EMP. And last week, where last time I spoke was chapter 2. Chapter 2 talked about how Jesus came as one of us, kind of similar to what Pastor Sam preached about on Sunday, how Word became flesh. Jesus became one of us so that he may sanctify us and bring us before the Lord. And today we start off in verse 1. It says, therefore, because Christ has done that, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. And here in this verse, the writer of Hebrews is calling us, the readers, and in this time the audience was Jewish believers that were having sort of a harder time, like they were having some doubts, going through some moments of wondering, you know, am I doing the right thing following Jesus Christ? You know, am I... You know, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And the writer of Hebrews is writing to them to encourage them to persevere and to reassure them that Jesus is the Messiah, the chosen one, that they haven't done something wrong by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. Here he says, you're holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. And I just want to pause there for a moment and say, just talk about this phrase where it says, holy brethren. You know, you and I are all called holy people. Holy, you know, even the verse on the board today, it says, you know, together with all the Lord's holy people. The Bible, the scripture calls us holy people. And I want to talk about the holiness of God for a little bit. You know, when we sing songs, you know, a lot of worship songs, we say, you know, holy, holy, holy. Like God is holy. But I think it's hard for us to really understand. All day yesterday, as when I started prepping for this message, I've been meditating upon that word, holy. You know, what does it mean for God to be holy? And I think in today's world, like when we say holy, we take anything that is religious and we say, oh, he's holy. You know, like the Dalai Lama, he's a holy person, you know. Or you go to India and we think, oh, India is such a holy place because there's so many temples and idols and blah, blah, blah. But when the Old Testament, when we talk about the holiness of God, that I think the attribute holiness, it was something that was only attributed to Yahweh, to God, right? When we said God is holy, holy means to be separate, to be set apart, to be different, right? So when I say, you know, when we sing, oh God, you are so holy, basically what we're saying is, God, you are different. You know, there is no one else like you, and you are in a class of your own. Like when I say God is holy, when the people of God were praising God and saying, God, you are the Holy One of Israel, they were saying, God is different from all the other idols, all the other gods that were around in that time, all the other things that people worshipped. God was different. He was set apart because of His power, because of His goodness, because of His love. And so when we sing those songs, you know, holy, 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 you know, the Lord God is holy, we're saying, God, you are so different. There is no one else compares to you, no one else like you. Like none can compare. You are so different. You're so transcendent. You know, there's like God is so separate from us. We can't imagine what He's like. His holiness is not something that we just attribute to other things. You know, you can't, you know, holy place, holy cow. You know, we say all these things like holy blah blah blah, but really, when we say God is holy, we're saying God is different. I have some quotes here. God is, He's altogether different. He stands as a class of His own. He stands out as a unique character, right? So holiness, and you know, in the Bible, when it talks about holiness, when a place is holy, you know, Moses is standing before the burning bush and God says, this is holy ground. The reason why the ground is holy is not because of anything else. It's because God is there. Because God is there, this is a holy ground. Because God is in the temple, it's called the Holy of Holies. Because God is there. So when the Bible says, be holy, because I am holy, we're given a task that is impossible for us to do. We can't become holy, you know, because sometimes we think holiness means we just have to be right, you know, we just have to be good person, stay away from sin. There's definitely an aspect of that when we talk about holiness, but to be holy, it means we just need something of God in us to be holy, and that's something that we cannot do on our own, but God wanted a people that were set apart, that were holy. For Him, He knew that we couldn't do it. So what did He do? He sent Jesus Christ to die for us on the cross so that we may be given the holiness of God. Not by our own works, not by earning, you know, this holiness, this righteousness, by living a good life and working hard and persevering and trying to be holy. But God gave that to us. You know, He just said, you're a holy people. Because you believe in Me, because you have Jesus Christ living in you, all of a sudden, you know, soon as we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we become a holy person. And it's not something that we have to, like, strive to do. You know, have you ever seen Dangerous Minds with Jodie Foster, I think? Michelle Pfeiffer, sorry. And she, like, what does she say? You know, she's a teacher in this class of misfits. They're just punks. They don't want to go to school. They don't want to do anything. I think this is the movie. Genevieve, I might be wrong. You can correct me. But it's one of those teacher movies, and the teacher comes in and says, you are all A students. Basically, you're all going to get an A at the end of the school year, and what you have to do is just don't screw it up. Like, don't. Your job is not to earn your A, but your job is to make sure that you keep your A by being a student, you know? And I think the difference is quite amazing. You know, like, if we just say, like, I just want to be whole, like, I need to earn my holiness by the way I live my life, and you're always watching out and you're trying to be holy, that's an impossible task. But if we realize that our identity is holy people, because of Jesus Christ, because the righteousness of Christ and the holiness of Christ is given to us, then of course we're going to live a holy life. It doesn't make sense for us to not live a holy life. Pastor Eugene, 2 days ago when he was talking about salt and light, he said, that's our identity. We are salt and light, so it doesn't make sense for us to not live a life that is different, to not live a life that is being salt and being light. And he talked about how Elijah was licking food off the ground. And he said, you're not a dog, Elijah. Same thing happened in my school when I was teaching, Canadian International School. Kids are licking food off the ground. And the principal is like, what are you doing? You're not a dog, right? You're a boy. You're a person. We don't lick food off the ground. It's kind of the same thing. Like, we're holy people. That's our identity because of what Christ has done. So it doesn't make sense for us to live in sin. It doesn't make sense for us to live a life that is not set apart from sin, that is not set apart for Christ, that is not set apart for God, because that's who we are. And I think it's, if we look at it that way, it makes more sense. And it's much more doable than for us to be not holy, and then we're trying to earn our holiness. But I also want to caution us, you know, because the Bible is also clear in saying that, and the Bible says we're holy already, but it's also clear in saying, hey, become holy, like be holy, try to be holy. You know, the verse in Romans, is it Romans 12:1? It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, you know, to offer up your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God. We need to be holy. And 1 Peter chapter 1, 16, it says, be holy as I am holy. I'm going to just read that to you. I don't want to mess it up. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, it says, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Right? So what we need to understand is, positionally, our identity, we're holy people. We're holy. We're always going to be holy before God because of what Christ has done, right? But in our behavior, in the way we live our lives, we also need to strive to live like who we are, right? We can't just say, oh, Christ is in me, I am holy, therefore I can do anything and I will always be holy. No, it's we have to understand there's both. Like positionally, we're always righteous, we're always holy before God. So now the way we live our lives need to match who we are, our identity. Meaning we need to leave, you know, our life of sin, and we need to be, you know, our behaviors need to be holy, like set apart, separated from sin, just as our identity is and our position is, right? So that's just something I wanted to talk about. But, you know, we need to remember, I mean, we're holy brethren. We're holy people. We're already, we have that in us. It's not an impossible task that God has given to us. Be holy as I am holy. He knew that it was impossible, so he gave us the holiness of Christ when we believed in him. And he says, now you are holy, live a holy life. You know, now you're a child of God, live a life like you're a child of God. You know, like I went to Romania one time on a mission trip, and we were working at an orphanage. And I mean, it's common, you guys know this probably already, but when you adopt a street kid into your home, even though the identity of that street kid, the orphan, becomes a son or a daughter right away, it takes years for the street kid to break out of his habits, you know. When we were there, there was a little boy, he was so cute, his name was Bo, and he was the cutest little thing. But he was so manipulative, and he still had habits of stealing, and what he would do, he would look at you with those big, beautiful eyes, and so cute, you just admire him, you adore him, but he does it to, like, get his way, you know, or, like, he'll do that. Excuse me. I guess one of the things that he used to do is, he would do that thing to, like, oh, so cute, and while everyone's so, like, mesmerizes him, some other kid will come and steal stuff from you, you know? And he would still have those habits in him, and the parents, right, at the orphanage were like, be careful of that boy, you know? He's so cute, but he's very manipulative and he'll get you, kind of thing. And the struggle for the orphan is, yeah, you know, their identity is a son. Their identity is a daughter, a child of this parent. but they have to break out of that habit. And in the same way, we're holy people because of Jesus Christ, but we need to break out of the habits that we've picked up, you know, as non-holy people, you know, as sinners, basically, right? As non-believers or pre-believers. So that's one thing. So we're holy brethren. But the main chunk of this chapter, what he's talking about is Jesus is higher than Moses. And we have to remember, because he's talking to a Jewish audience, and he's trying to assure Jewish people that Jesus is the right way, he's doing something that will make sense to them, because Moses is such an important figure, right, in the Jewish culture, in the Jewish world. So he's saying, you know, Moses was an amazing servant. He was a faithful servant. He was good. He was great, great man of God. But Christ is greater than Moses, because, you know, just as a builder of the house is greater than the house itself, Christ, you know, he is the creator, right? Moses is just a created person. Christ is the creator, and therefore Christ is much greater. You know, I mean, that's such an obvious concept, right? You go, I was in Spain one time, Barcelona, and you, there's this temple, that Gaudi, not the temple, this church, that this architect Gaudi made, and it's so beautiful, it's so awesome, and you go there and you're just like, wow, you're in awe of this beautiful church that he's made. But the glory that we, you know, the praise that we give is not just to the building, like, oh, that's so beautiful. When we say, oh, that's so beautiful, we're actually praising Gaudi, the architect. In the same way, right, Moses was an amazing man of God, but the glory goes to God who created Moses. And in this case, God who created Moses has come down as one of us. And therefore, Jesus is greater. And so the writer of Hebrews is trying to write to Jewish audiences and saying, I know Moses was so great, but Jesus is even greater. And why is he saying that? Because later on, if you go to chapter 7, you know, I mean, verse 7, it says, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. And all this, this whole thing here from verse 7 to verse 11, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they did not know my ways. This whole part is talking about when the Israelites were following Moses, but they had a hard time believing what Moses was saying. Like, Moses was a great man of God that God had appointed as a leader over them, and they had a hard time believing them, believing Moses. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, if these people were following Moses, a great man of God, and they had a hard time believing him, and therefore they got into trouble because they didn't put their faith in this great man of God, Moses, now you guys have someone even greater than Moses. You guys have Jesus Christ, who is the creator of Moses, leading you. How much more trouble are you going to get into if these guys got in trouble for not following Moses, a great man of God, a leader of God? Now you have somebody even greater, Jesus Christ. Trouble are you going to get into if you don't listen to Jesus, right? And so he's drawing that comparison. Moses was great, but Jesus is greater. They didn't listen to Moses. They got into trouble. If you don't listen to Jesus, you're going to be in trouble. You need to believe what Jesus Christ says, you know, over you and the salvation that he's offering to you. And so that's kind of his rationale here. He's saying, yeah, Moses is great, but Jesus is greater. You better listen and you better believe. Because they had trouble, they got into trouble because they didn't believe Moses, a servant of God. So now that Jesus is here teaching us his truth, you better believe what Jesus is saying, because he's even greater than Moses. And from verse 12 to 19, he's talking mostly about unbelief. He's saying, you know, these guys had a hard time believing what Moses was saying and what Moses was kind of conveying as the message of God. And because of that, they got into trouble. And I just want to talk a little bit about believing and faith. You know, believing is a choice, right? It's not, you know, a lot of people say, I just can't believe. You know, I try so hard to believe. You know, I try so hard to have faith, but I just can't. It's impossible for me. I just can't believe. I can't do it. And I had the same thing happen to me. I was at a hair salon, Korean hair in Causeway Bay, and this lady's cutting my hair, and we're talking about church, and she's like, yeah, you know, I grew up in the church, but as I grew up and as I asked questions and all these questions I had about God, and people didn't really give me an answer that I was really satisfied with. So in the end, I just couldn't believe. You know, I tried to believe, I tried to go to church, but faith didn't rise up in me, kind of thing. And I told her, you know, belief is not something that just comes to you. It's a choice. Believing is a choice. And that's why the writer of Hebrews here can say, you better believe. Don't harden your heart. It says, do not harden your heart. You have a choice whether or not you're going to harden your heart or whether you're going to open up your heart and believe the things that God says. So I was telling this lady, you know, believing is a choice. You know, if all the facts were given to you and all the evidence was given to you, that wouldn't be called faith. That would just be called knowledge. You would just know that God is right and Jesus is the way. But if you don't know and you don't have certainty, full certainty, and you choose to still say Christ is the way, you know, Christ is God, then that's called faith, and the Bible wants us to have faith in Christ. So I told her, you know, believing is a choice, and she was like, oh, cool, I never heard that before, so hopefully. And you know, that place jacked up the price. It used to be $150 per haircut, now it's $250. Part of the reason why I still want to go there is I want to minister to this lady. I feel like we have some, you know, rapport. So I want to continue to, like, talk to her and share the gospel with her, you know. But what was I saying? Believing, yeah. We need to believe. And it's not just about faith that brings salvation, right? I mean, there's so many promises in the Bible, so many things that we learned at church. And sometimes believing in that, faith in that doesn't just come because circumstances tell us otherwise. You know, we pray for healing. The Bible says we're going to pray for the sick and they'll be healed. And we pray for the healing of sick people and nothing happens. But we need to say, you know what? Circumstances tell me otherwise, but I'm going to believe. I'm going to choose to believe in the Word of God. And I'm going to continue to do it. I'm going to continue to live it. And you know, the Bible says, I'll provide for you. God says, I'll provide for you, you know. Give generously, and it'll be given back to you. But you're struggling with giving, but you just say, you know, I'm just going to believe, you know. It may not be easy. That belief, that assurance doesn't just come and give me peace all over. But I say, I'm going to choose to believe in the Word of God and the promises of God, and I'm going to go forward in obedience to that. And another thing related to belief that I want to mention to you is belief will lead to action, right? Have you seen this illustration? There's a chair here. And the question is, how many of you believe that this chair is going to hold me up? Yeah, Ehun believes. One person in our whole church believes that this chair has enough strength to hold me up when I sit down. But how do we prove that belief? How do we show that belief? You come up and you sit, right, on the chair. And ta-da, we know that this chair has power to hold me up. But the faith, you know, when we say, I believe, that faith is demonstrated by our action. And when we, you know, when we say, I believe in these things, then we need to follow it up with action. And P. Sam talked about it last week, if you're here at EMP, when he was talking about John, because it says, the work of God is this, that you believe in the one that he sent, you know. And why, you know, he said, why did he say that? Well, how is that the work of God? Because when you believe something, it always leads to action. And James will tell us, hey, faith without action is dead. You know, you can't just say you believe something but not have your lives changed by that. So Yeah, just a few things to think about this morning, but if Mon can come up and lead us in some worship, let's just close our eyes and allow the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us. I really want us to focus on that idea of our identity being holy people, that we're not striving and we're not trying to earn holiness, you know, by the way we live our lives, but it's something that God has given to us. I mean, it's something we can't even do it on our own anyway, you know, and but God has given that to us, and now that that is our identity, we just have to live it out, you know, live out our lives as holy people. So let's meditate upon that and sing this song as a worship to God.
The stars will light the sky for you, and always God be praised. And we sing, the Lord is on high, the Lord is on high. I adore. Sky for you, and always God be praised. And we sing, the Lord is on high, the Lord is on high, and I adore.
God,
Together, let's just pray for just the people that you know, whether it be a church or your family members or your friends or your work colleagues that are having a hard time putting their faith in Jesus Christ. You might be sharing your faith with them, but you know, faith is a choice, but you know, for them it's like, I can't get myself to believe. So let's just pray that God would do something in their hearts and that He will bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. So let's just pray for our pre-believing friends, colleagues, family members. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Nagoya, Japan. Let's pray for Kenny Ye, who is there. But let's also pray for Japan as a country, as a nation. When the Japan team came back, they shared some statistics with us. We're quite sad, right? The church is very old and it's dying, and there's not a lot of new believers rising up. So let's pray for Japan. Let's pray that God would come and move in that country powerfully. Let's cry for that nation. Let's also pray for Thailand and Rachel Wurlick that's there as a YWAMer. Let's pray for her and cover her. And let's also pray for North Korea. Let's pray for the country there. Let's pray for the persecuted church. And let's also pray for Chris Kim, who is our contact, who is a missionary there. So let's pray together. Pray for the SP ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark, our children's ministry. Please pray for Pastor Carol as she's just come to Hong Kong and she's taking over the ministry. Let's just pray for the favor of God and good just unity between, you know, amongst the team of teachers. And let's pray for wisdom for Pastor Carol and SP youth. We pray for me and the teachers. There's Ashley and Leanne. And some other people are thinking about joining, but let's just pray that we'll really be able to love, even though the number is small, that we'll love the kids and that they would really learn and grow a lot through the youth ministries. Let's pray for the two ministries. Let's pray for SP 1.5. Let's just continue to pray that God would lead us. And let's pray for K plus K, our architects, that's overseeing this whole project. Let's pray for Projects Asia, our contractors. Let's pray for Winston, who is our AV and lighting consultant. Let's pray for just wisdom for him. And pray for Tracy, our project manager. And pray for Pastor Sam. It's kind of, he's overseeing everything for our church. So let's just pray and cover this whole project, that just everything will go smoothly. And let's pray for the church too, our church members, that they would really be behind this vision. And our church as a whole will really glorify God through this project. So let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your presence. And I just pray that you will continue to be with us the rest of this day. Walk with us. I just pray for your blessing over each and every person that's here. I pray that your presence will be with them and help them to really remember you, God, throughout the day today, and to walk in your peace and in your courage, God, and in your love. And we just give you today, we want to bring you joy somehow, God, in the way we live our lives today. And I pray that we'll also have a chance to really just get to know you better in some way, God, today. And we love you, we praise you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great time praying, and have a great day today.